All right, so it's been really difficult to dive into the bracketology stuff that's been going on because Michigan is just so horrendous. But I think that is maybe one of the most fun times of the year is watching the tail end of this college basketball season and seeing like all of these random podunk schools that are like, oh, they're projected to be in the tournament for the first time in forever. I saw something on Dartmouth, which we talked about on the show, like that they want to unionize. Dartmouth hasn't made the NCAA tournament since the 50s. That was the last time they made the NCAA tournament. And they're the ones that are getting talked about in this unionization thing. Homeboy, what kind of revenue are you bringing to the school when your team hasn't seen the NCAA tournament since the JFK administration? That's probably a little bit before. I think 58 was the last time they were in. You
I
get you
do,
you get the point, right?
I do find a certain level of depression though, in like every year I've watched the tournament and Michigan isn't in it. It just pains me in a certain way.
JFK was in the 60s,
I
but
love March Madness and I think it's, as far as playoffs go or like playoff formats, it's terrible. It's so bad. But it's so entertaining. Like, do you really get a true champion by having 64 teams play a one and done tournament? No, absolutely not. Like, but it also makes it very, very, very entertaining. And I would not want it any other way. But don't ever do that to football, or I will kill you.
it's my favorite sporting event. Like, it is my favorite postseason is March Madness.
I can't hate on that at all. I really can't. I love it. It's not my favorite, but I love it.
Well,
Oh.
it'll kill the players. That's cr Those first 2 days of the tournament are like the best in sport. Like, your team doesn't even
And
need
you
to be
just have a
playing,
million devices
and it's
up with
just like,
games on.
oh, I'm gonna watch, you know,
It's
Eastern
great.
Pennsylvania Technical College for the Blind play Duke, and then maybe they'll win on like some like last second buzzer beater from the white guy that's like 4'10" and he throws up a prayer. Oh, it's you guys, you got okay, here's my formal invitation. Ethan, you've seen my living room, okay? We get out another TV, and then for those first 2 days, it's just four games, all four games, because there's only four ever going on at one time. We have
You
all
gonna whip
four
me up
up
some
on the screen.
Asian Zing
Take your
wings?
pick, and you can watch all of them. You don't need to go to B-dubs. You don't need to go to your local sports bar. No, you come to Luke Wessling and Corey's Fursina's house in Indianapolis, Indiana,
No, no,
and you
no, no,
go
no. I
watch
like
yourself some
traditional
March
wings
Madness
better.
basketball, baby.
But we
That's
can
what you're
put those
coming
in the air
for.
fryer. I love traditional wings in the air fryer. They're great.
If you want, sure,
I
we can
feel
make
like
some.
Alex just got
They're not
very
that
left
hard.
out.
Put some popcorn chicken in the air
Oh,
fryer, and then get some
okay.
Asian
It seemed
zing
like it was specific to
sauce
me,
from.
but Alex, I'm glad you're invited.
Okay, fine. We
It
can
did
do
for
that
a
too.
hot second.
Yeah. Traditional, traditional, boneless.
I do want to come.
Why?
Will I be
He's
able to
invited.
come? No, but I would love
I was
to.
gonna say, I think we've just gotten into a point in our
Oh.
relationship with him, Corey, where we
I said
just
this was my formal
assume he can't go
invitation.
to anything or
Unless
won't
Alex
go
doesn't want
to
to come, and then
anything,
I'll rescind
so we
my
just have stopped
invitation.
asking
Then
him.
that's fine.
It's a tough life. It's tough life. But I actually, the first day of March Madness is like my company's like big like national org meeting that we all have to meet in the office for. And I
Ah,
told my boss, I was
yes.
like, just so you know, because you're also a sports guy, this is happening. And he's like, well, we'll find a way to put something on the screen. We'll figure it out. And I was like, we better, or else I might be might be coming down with something later in March. Well, as you can tell, it is March, and we love college basketball and March Madness, but we are not a college basketball podcast. We are a college football podcast. And if you love Big Ten football, then you came to the right place. Welcome to Big Banter. If you're new here, like and follow us wherever you're listening. Follow us on the socials, Instagram and Threads. We are at B1G Banter, and then on Twitter at B1G Banter Pod. Corey, say something nice to listen.
No. Stop right now. I tried to catch him before he said it. Corey, I'm so sorry. Alex, for once, we want you to say something nice to the listeners. Yes.
Okay, I'll say something. Listen, whoever's listening to this right now, real talk for a minute. The fact that you take time out of your day to listen to the three of us BS and talk crazy about sports and players and all that stuff genuinely means so much. And there may only be single digits, the number of people who do that, but seriously means a lot that you take the time out of your day to do this. We work hard to prep a nice show for you. So thank you for doing that and allowing us to be ridiculous. And hopefully we're entertaining enough to make it worth your time. So with that, let's get into the freaking episode. This one's going to be meaty. It's going to be a hefty episode because it's been a couple weeks since we recorded and a lot has happened. We're going to start off with some college football playoff stuff, rumored formats coming in 2026 and a change to the 12-team playoff that's happening this year. Then we're going to get into a little NCAA versus University of Tennessee and NIL rulings. We're going to finish it off with a new coaching hire in the Big Ten, and the college football video game is coming back, baby. And we're going to talk about World War II with the game. So let's get right into it. The college football playoff format, 12-team format, is tweaked slightly. It's going from a six auto bid, six highest conference champs, and six at-large bids to five conference champs and then seven at-large bids. So not a very big change there. They're just adjusting with the landscape of college football now that the conferences are the way that they are. So that's not really what we want to spend our time on here. What we want to spend our time on is something that Ross Dellinger at Yahoo reported on, which is a rumored playoff format that could begin after this current deal is done, and that would be 2026. So the rumored format would be an expanded 14-team playoff where the Big Ten and the SEC each get three auto bids. The ACC and the Big 12 would each get two auto bids. Then the best group of five team would be an auto bid, and there would only be three at-large spots that are not automatic bids for this 14-team expanded playoff. Super wild scenario, and it's even wild just to think about the fact that the current 12-team deal is only going to last for 2 years, and we could potentially see a brand new format.
And this is a question for you specifically, Alex. Does this get rid of the one like guaranteed non-Power 5 team?
No, the group of five, best group of five team is one of the auto bids.
Okay, so they will get unless, one team. Unless they are ranked within the top 12, which then they will just get whatever spot they're ranked at. If they're like the 22nd ranked team in the country, you'll have 1 through 11 getting in and then them.
Yes, which sounds insane. It does suck is what it does. And I think what I hate most about this format is that so the Big Ten and SEC are getting three auto bids. ACC and Big 12 are getting two auto bids.
That's so tough.
Do conference championships matter anymore? Like in both scenarios, whoever's in the conference championship game is just in the playoff regardless of what happens. And then honestly, if you're in the Big Ten and SEC, would you want to be the third team and not have to play after game and still get an auto bid to the playoff and just have an extra week of rest and health and prep? Like, I hate that idea of the auto bids being determined before a conference championship game.
Well, here's the thing. I think conference championship games are going to still give teams the ability to rank themselves within the top four, and that is a bye week. You get a bye week if you do that. So they will still mean a lot, especially in the SEC and in the Big Ten, where every single year those conferences are playing for a top 10 spot in their conference championship game. And both of those conferences have gotten rid of divisions as of next year. So it's just going to be the two best teams. So they will definitely be vying for a top four spot. So in those two specific scenarios, it's going to mean a lot. And then I have a feeling that in like the ACC, for example, those teams are going that like that team is going to need that win to rank themselves in the top four. So it will still matter because keeping the top four as getting a bye, I think, was very important for this playoff format. I love the home games for 5 through 7. 5, 6, 7, get a home game against 8, 9, 10. No, 5, 6, 7, 8, get a home game against 9, 10, 11, 12.
Yeah, in the current format, yeah, and then 14, whatever that is.
The conference championship game is still going to be there. It still is going to mean a lot. So I think your sanctity of like the...
I heard somebody talk about this a little bit as well, siding a little bit with Alex. The guy who's getting screwed here is the person who loses the conference championship game, because Alex is saying along the lines of like, wouldn't you just rather, if you're not going to win the conference championship, like not like be the third place team, because you play that extra game, then you don't get that automatic bye. Then you're playing again, an additional game in a spot where the third place team didn't play in the game and they didn't have to play an extra game for players to get hurt in. So there was somebody, it's like this guy that I follow on like college football, like TikTok or something like that. He was talking exactly like that, how it kind of doesn't make any sort of sense. So I kind of side with that a little bit, but I want to put this playoff format into perspective here, because there's something that is really funny for everybody else, but not so funny for one team in specific, and that is Notre Dame. Because since they aren't in a conference championship, or they don't have a conference championship game, the highest they can possibly go in this format, whether they go undefeated or not, is the 5 seed. They can't be in the top four unless they write in some sort of special Notre Dame rule or something like that, which I'm pretty sure they're not going to do that, considering all of the momentum that the SEC and the Big Ten are gaining. Notre Dame gets screwed in this scenario, and you've seen some of these smaller independent schools
like get UMass in a conference
back into the MAC. Army is joining. Like, I don't know how clear the conference to be made. In a couple get of seasons a conference. Here as well. This format is going to kill any college football independency that is left, and it's not much. And I think this is further going to push them into the Big Ten. They're gonna have to stop this. Oh, we're ACC for basketball, Big Ten for soccer, or Big Ten for hockey, and then whatever else they feel like choosing. They're going to pick, and they're definitely not going to be picking the ACC unless the ACC right. does some sort of thing to get
that
them a ton
of money.
That's
what I was going to say, because I think they would love to go to the ACC to spite the Big Ten, but the Big Ten has made themselves such a top dog. Like, it is the Big Ten, the SEC, and everyone else, and Notre Dame is way too full of themselves to get left behind, which I love the idea of the Big Ten just being like, nah, we'll pass. But they won't, because Notre Dame is money and big money, which I fully understand. But it is going to be so delicious when they come groveling and being like, can we join your conference, please? And we get to tell them, hey, you know how you play an ACC basketball schedule and softball schedule and all that stuff? And they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to keep that. No, you're not. No, you're not. You join for everything or you join for nothing. There is no scenario where the Big Ten should ever accept Notre Dame unless it is in every single sport they play.
It's kind of wild to think about all of this conference expansion that the Big Ten has had with UCLA, USC, Washington, and Oregon. And the most slam dunk geographical expansion team, and then values and academics, all this crap, has always been Notre Dame. And Notre Dame is just like, nah, we're not gonna. It's just, we're just not gonna do that. The clock is ticking because it's going to cost them a lot more to be independent than it is to join a conference at this point. And does anybody have the year that their TV deal runs out with NBC? Because what's a bigger sell for a TV package? An entire conference with an entire group of
NBC is Big Ten now, so it wouldn't even matter.
Is it? Okay, well, but Notre Dame gets their own chunk of the pie, right? It's just like,
yeah. Well, guess what? Now you're getting a slice of the pie that's 50 times the size of the pie that you were getting to yourself. So you still win.
Who, Notre Dame. The Big Ten?
Notre Dame. They still win.
I don't want Notre Dame to win. I want to play them a lot.
Yeah,
I hate Notre Dame, and I never get to play them.
I also hate Ohio State, but they're in the Big Ten. I hate Michigan State. They're in the Big Ten. That's why I get to hate them, is because I get to play them every year because they're in my conference.
Let's turn it into the Notre Dame is overrated
like Notre Dame,
show.
We've turned this into the Notre Dame show. Yeah, right, exactly. We've turned this into the Notre Dame joining the Big Ten show. I'm sorry, that's not what this
last
is.
Last year,
but
because Michigan won it.
Let's move on. Let's
could be.
On.
Well, yeah, that's been
you guys here.
When was the last time they won a national championship? Has it been since 1997 when Michigan won their last one?
He is correct. I'm going to lead to the next topic, which is title. NCAA has even less power than we thought they did,
Ethan.
Okay, so, but while you do that, Alex is going to lead us into the next topic.
Going on,
sure,
into the University of Tennessee for some name, image, and likeness rules violations. But basically, Tennessee was like, "Wait a second, you don't even have governance or like authority over name, image, and likeness. Like this is open market stuff that we're talking about. You don't get to say what we can or cannot do and what athletes can or cannot do." And then the federal judge was like, "Oh yeah, Tennessee's right, you can't." So even though we were all under the impression that NIL was wild in like just the wild wild west to begin with, it is now like officially, as of a court ruling, the wild wild west. There is zero legislation, there is zero limitation. Players are free to shop themselves to whomever they choose, whatever university, whatever donor, whatever collective that they can find, and they can go to the highest bidder if they choose. So I say all that to say, you know, less about the University of Tennessee and more so just about the NCAA is, it feels like the inevitable is coming on their doorstep.
I 100% agree. And I wasn't trying to cut you off. I was just trying to say, I'll go first. This is exactly why I am so on board with the SEC and the Big Ten joining up to, you know, make this, whatever you want to call it, group of, I don't even know what they're calling it, but essentially what it is a let's do what the NCAA has failed to do for 20 years and legislate college football to where it makes sense. And the way you do that is peer-to-peer. You do peer-to-peer accountability. I keep you accountable. You keep me accountable. And all of us keeps each other accountable. And that is exactly what college football needs. The NCAA has been a farce for my entire life. I'm 31 years old. The NCAA has been useless that entire time. And that's literally not a joke. There was so much stuff going on in the 90s, so much stuff going on in the early 2000s, which we all know about. And now it's just open market on college football players. And what needs to happen is contracts. And I'm sorry, if kids are going to get paid, this is what has to be done. Because you cannot have kids that are, oh, I'm just using this as an example. I'm not saying that he specifically is doing this, but, oh, I'm Archie Manning. I am going to go to Texas, and then they aren't giving me the playing time I need. So now I'm going to go to Oregon. Oh, no, Oregon, I had a lackluster season there. So now I'm going to go, and I'm going to be the starter at Alabama year three. Like we can't have that, because what essentially we are having is an NFL light where at the end of every single season, players are free agents. And you can't have it.
It's even more than the end of each season. There's a transfer period in the fall, and there's a transfer period in the spring. You have multiple points of free agency during a college football season. And it's absolutely ridiculous. And I want to make a large point here, too, because you hear people all the time say, like, well, you know, the coaches just leave whenever they want to. So coaches sign contracts. Why can't the players
and they
do
have
that
to be
too?
Bought out when they go other places while that contract is still in place. And if that is happening with players,
thank you.
I'm all for it. If another school says, yeah, 1,000% we will pay. We will pay this player's buyout for $15.5 million. Guess what? They're not going to do that. So don't ever try and sell me on coaches and players are the same. They never have been, and they never will be.
Yeah, when was the last time you saw a high-profile coach at Alabama one season, Oregon the next, Georgia the next, USC? Like, these are two different situations, using the coach hiring firing argument to be pro transfer portal. And it is now apples to freaking bouncy balls now. Like, it's two very different conversations.
Well, I mean, the poster child for coaches leaving very quickly is Lane Kiffin, and he's been at Ole Miss now for, it seems like, a decade, right? I mean, that guy was at Tennessee, went to the NFL, then he came back, then he was at FAU, and now he's at Ole Miss. And even that guy, who has that painted picture of, oh, he's a coach that leaves all the time. No, he's been there for, you know, at least four seasons now. So the fact that we are at a spot where now it's a DJ Uiagalelei went from a Clemson for his first 2 years to an Oregon State. Now he's going to play his final season at Florida State. And then Dillon Gabriel, who was at UCF, Oklahoma, and had a great year at Oklahoma, I might add, and now transfers to Oregon just because he feels like he can. We talked about this a little bit last time. There needs to be something, if not contracts, that the powers that be in the Big Ten and the SEC and whoever wants to join that little committee
I think that's absolutely perfect. One-time transfer with no sitting out whatsoever.
You're
going to
stay at a particular
spot whenever you'd like, and then you get a graduate transfer,
or you get a one-time transfer
same thing
where you
applies.
Don't have to sit out, and then you point towards your degree. If you're a graduate, then you get another transfer if that's something that you would like to do. And
we remove the ridiculous rule of sitting out a year. Like, but that comes back into play if you decide you want to transfer
and like that's
another time.
There's no contract, there's no salary cap, there's no anything like that.
Which that stuff can all be proven, which is fine. If you have that,
right,
great, go ahead and transfer. But otherwise, you get your one-time free transfer, and then you get your graduate transfer. And that's three schools in 5 years. I'm not asking you to I really don't think I'm asking much. You sign with a team originally. Oh, I didn't want to go there. I go somewhere else. Now I'm graduating and I go somewhere else. You're still going to three different schools in 5 years. That's still too much for me personally, but I'm willing to relinquish that to get rid of the absolute madness that we have right now. And I do think that with the SEC and the Big Ten linking up, it absolutely has to deal with them. It has to do with they are going to get a wrangle on NIL.
I think so too. And I think something that we haven't really touched on, and everybody's going to be like, oh, we need to do this for the players. Yes, the players are now coming into an age where they are going to be taken care of in more ways than ever before. That is 100% true, and we're all for that. And I think we can all agree with that as well. So what I think the problem is that the players have an uneven like level of leverage. They're the ones that are calling the shots and not the institutions themselves. And like that's a backwards thing. And what I'm not saying be the big bad NCAA where you oppress these players and you don't let them do anything. Like NIL at its core is a good thing. Allowing players to do the things that they need to do in order to make money off of themselves. If they've got a t-shirt and they want to sell it for $1,000, great. Go do that, okay? But you going up to your head coach, the person who technically has that authority over you and is coaching you and is leading you onto the field and saying, hey, I'm not going to come here unless you give me $500K. Like, that's... And then you, on the flip side of that, can just leave whenever you want. You can get the $500K up in front. It's like, actually, I'm going to go someplace else. Like, nowhere in professional sports does that exist. Nowhere in the real world does that exist. You can't go to a job in which you work, you get a degree for, in which you work, and you go and you get your paycheck, right, all up front in advance without doing anything, and then get up and leave. That doesn't work. Okay. So there needs to be some sort of merit, because literally every single person in America that has a job has to have some sort of like exchange here. And what we've created and seen with this NIL stuff is that there's no exchange. And it's just based off of, yep, we value this. And then you don't have to do anything about it. And then, you know, we're just all hunky dory with this. And players demanding ridiculous sums of money in order to stay, which is wild.
You're 100% right. I couldn't have echoed the point any better, Corey. Like, there's no reason that college kids, saying,
oh, the players are making
should
money,
have more leverage than players in the NFL,
but there has to be,
right, who do this professionally.
Clearly, very clearly, with this ruling, there isn't one.
Like,
right,
there has to be some sort of accountability. Like, you chose the school that you're going to. Like, it's not like you were picked in a draft like they are in the NFL. Like, you get to choose the place. So at some point you need to actually commit to a decision. But I think, like Ethan said, contracts are coming. Corey, like you said, I think calendar and transfer rules are coming. Like, all of this doesn't it feel inevitable? Like,
it
that we're at kind of a fork in the road with the future of college football.
You cannot have what you currently have. I mean, we are one step away from college football coaches as a whole just being like, okay, until you figure this out, we're done. Because, yeah.
Some already have.
I mean, I think a large determining factor of why Jim Harbaugh went to the NFL was because he looked at the current system and was like, I'm doing everything I can to hold on to my players and my team. And he did. And it's kind of funny that a national championship correlates with the team that held their team together the best in the country. Those two things go hand in hand. And it was... go back and listen to everything Jim Harbaugh said about it. He does not make it sound like it was easy. Like, he did everything in his power to keep those players together on the field. And kudos to him, because he did it, and he, you know, won the ultimate prize, which is a national championship, which is what all of this has to do with. But it's just gotten out of hand. It's gotten completely out of hand. And I do think, and yeah, at this point we might be belaboring the point, but I do think that they are going to get a handle on it. I'm just very interested to see how that happens, because it needs to happen quickly. It needs to happen within the next, like, season of college football. We need to see progress made on that. And I don't want to see the NCAA. Well, the whole point of this was the NCAA was told they can't do anything about it, essentially. So bye-bye, NCAA. Just another step in that direction. And I would love to see the committee for the SEC and the Big Ten come in and just be like, okay, we're going to put some parameters in place that, yes, you can make as much money as you'd like off your NIL, but it is going to be at a 2-year minimum of where you go.
All right, quick pivot before we get into the next topic. So maybe 5 minutes on this. What is your level of optimism, 0 to 10? The future of college football. 0 being I'm terrified for what the sport is going to look like, and 10 being college football is going to be fine. Sorry, I think I muted myself.
You know, I kind of go back and forth with this a little bit, because I do enjoy the fact that there's more like ability for players to put themselves out there. Like, all like, then just from a Michigan perspective, the NIL stuff, like being able to buy your favorite player's jersey, like, that's cool. Like, and I think that's like a better engagement with the fans. However, hearing all of these stories, seeing some of these coaches take a step back, like, and there clearly being no plan, I mean, I'm not optimistic by any stretch of the means. I would say I'd give it, like, the way things are right now. Now, that can change if a plan is set in stone. I'd say it's a 3, because I love college football because it's not the NFL, and because it's so wild and crazy and all of that stuff. And the more it becomes like an NFL-like business, the less of the charm and the less of the distinguishability it has from the NFL game.
And we've already had the conversation about why it cannot become the NFL. There isn't enough talent to go around for it to be the NFL. And I think right now I'm at a 5. I'm like right in the middle. I'm leaning more towards Corey. He's like pulling me. He's got a lasso around me at the 3. And he's like trying to pull me in that direction. And it's kind of working. But I'm at a 5. And I don't love what I'm seeing. And I don't love the pace at which it's happening. If that makes sense.
The low one.
I'd like to take a breath. I'm at a 7. And just kind of, let's fix some things before
honestly, that's
we
lower
add
than what
things.
I was probably a month ago. Honestly, today I was listening to Josh Pate in the car and started to get a little scared. Just thinking of, you know, I think we've all kind of rooted for the SEC and Big Ten to be like, yes, please leave the NCAA. Like, you don't need them anymore. But, like, what if they leave and they only take the teams in the conferences with them? You know, like, what happens to some schools that maybe we're used to watching just for the heck of it, right? Maybe they don't have the largest fan bases or the best program history, but what if we like watching, you know, a Cal, right? Or an NC State or whoever it may be that is still part of the fabric of college football? And what if we lose a lot of those schools because the NCAA failed to act and the conferences were forced to? That's what I think I'm most worried about. The whole NIL salary cap contract stuff, I think it does take away a little bit of the charm, but that stuff's going to be mostly behind the scenes, right? To where when you turn on the TV and get to watch your school play on a Saturday, you're not going to be thinking about that, right? You're just going to be
watching a football game. So I do worry about the fact that the NCAA has been so idiotic and barbaric that they've forced the conferences into this position. But I do think the conference is no better than the NCAA. So if I had to choose someone to be, I would choose Greg Sankey and Tony Petitti at this point in time. But it's unfortunate they're in that position in the first place. Okay, let's move on. Next up, this is what we wanted to talk about. This is what we should be talking about. EA Sports is bringing back the college football video game. It is coming this summer, 2024. Fellas, I'm pumped. I haven't played video games consistently in a long time. I don't even have a console in my house, and this game may very well change that for me. might I ask for $500, please? Oh, brilliant. Love it.
Might I recommend the PS5?
God, yeah, Corey, you're a passer.
Steal one.
Why is that always Corey's answer to everything?
Steal it. I host a Big Ten football podcast. I need to play this video game.
What? Just buy it and use it as a tax write-off. I don't know. Yeah, it's a business expense. It's for research. You can fuddle with all sorts. Don't even worry about it.
I'd like to point out the fact that we are all tax-paying citizens, and Corey is saying this as a joke right now.
Oh, I would never break the tax code.
You want to see?
But will I use advantage of the tax loophole?
Okay, so anyway.
What are you most excited to play as? Are you going to play in mascot mode if mascot mode back? Like, what? You're the gamers of the group, you two. Like, what are you guys pumped for?
So I need the engine to be completely independent of Madden, because Madden is an atrocity to mankind, and it has been for over a decade now. It's been garbage, like absolute, complete and total garbage. So I need them to have zero hand in this. What I need most in this game, of this game, is for the gameplay to be spectacular. I need a football game where it feels so good. And it's crazy to say that they have done that in the past, and somehow they've just made it worse and worse and worse. I understand games need to progress and they need to add new features, but keep the core gameplay. I need the core gameplay to be fun. That is what I need the most, because I know the visuals are going to be spectacular and all of that kind of stuff. I just need the gameplay to be super duper fun. And also, please, for all of my people out there who are massive, massive franchise, well, it's not franchise in college football, but to dynasty mode, to all of my people out there who are massive dynasty mode fans and all of that, it needs to be like you're coming back for the first time since 2014. It needs to just be electric. It needs to be fantastic. So dynasty mode and gameplay engine, those are my two biggest things.
I think EA has come out and said that the college football engine will be different. Whether or not they stick to that is, you know, up for debate. This is what I want. I want the ability to cheat in this game, in your dynasty mode. So like, hey, here's an option. You can go the straight and arrow path and offer the player the NIL money that you want. Or you can pull in Ford to give you $10 million of a academic donation to maybe persuade the 5-star recruit. And then every time, whichever path that you choose, you get parts in the game where it's just like, hey, the Big Ten the Big Ten SEC committee is knocking on their on your door. They want to see your records. And then do you show them or do you say, hey, screw off, guy. And then you keep going. And then there will be a point where if you get caught, you're shut off from the game for 2 hours.
Are you noticing a pattern at all?
wouldn't that listen, you
what, why is this difficulty what mode called they, Connor Stallion?
What does everybody want? They want a lifelike college football game experience. And what is more lifelike right now than cheating through the NIL
deals? He wants to
deals?
Walk around I mean, like the Sims.
You're talking about having the engines
McDonald's
completely separate.
Bags full of
if
cash
in the real world
players.
It's the Wild Wild West, it must be the Wild Wild West in the video game world. It just makes way too much sense. That will also be an option. Hey, hand your NIL money in McDonald's bags. Or go through the process of having a signature sort of, you know.
There'll be a little icon whatever. That's like, you cannot get this money back. Are you sure you want to add another $50,000 to this bag? And you're like, all right, I got $1.3 million in the bag. I'm going to send it to the number one overall recruit. Oh, please. That's all the money I have
really
left.
Funny.
You're like, you're too late. Your dynasty's too late, and your budget is like $1.7 million a year, and you're sending the number one recruit in the country most of it. You're like, I need this quarterback.
Turns out that recruit played at a 1A high school in Indiana.
He takes your money and signs with Oregon. Stats. Gets a Nike brand deal on top of the $1.2 million you sent him. You're just crying in a corner, shaking.
It's going to be really awkward when the committee lays the hammer on you and you get the permadeath. You can no longer play Dynasty mode in NCAA. You're completely banned. You've been given
it tells
the
you,
death penalty.
Congrats, you've SMU'd yourself. Would you like to fast forward 15 years to when your team is allowed to have a football team?
And then it's like you get like four scholarships to work
with. Back, and it's like you're not throwing a football anymore. It's like a digital it's all VR. The football is just VR at that point. They're hiring the three of us.
You get $50,000 for your entire coaching staff. Oh my gosh, that would be incredible. I guess in all seriousness, I've seen some stuff on the visual, like the
you
graphics
are never,
and like the jerseys
ever,
and all that.
Going to be
you
able
better
to
give me the option to use whatever jersey I want and from whichever
jersey
I want
for Michigan.
Like, I
want to
see
they are currently
I
want to
see the under
Jumpman.
The lights Michigan That's jerseys, those hideous happening. But awesome like striped jerseys, and I want to be to wear. I want to be able to wear them with whatever.
Not,
combination.
If you think Adidas kinda would
like
let what, that happen, you are on drugs.
For the good of the game, Adidas. For the good of the game.
You stick a Jumpman logo on it, or you have it unbranded.
Yes.
Listen, this is just what I want. Okay?
I so emailed you can, the MDN about getting that jersey, so I don't want to hear it
just
from
sit
you.
There. Okay, fine.
Did
you
email them?
Then I want the Rose Bowl jersey. If I can't get it in real life, I want it in the video game. So,
I am too.
So to appease the masses and the capitalist agenda, Ethan, I want that in the game. No, I didn't. But I'm working out a plan. I'm working out a plan to get my own. So you can sit there.
You need to relax.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. Can I finish my thing? Can I finish my soapbox on the NCAA video game?
Shut up and finish your point.
Real mature. Real mature. He's showing me a particular finger. I'm not going to tell you which one it is. And I didn't say it wasn't. I didn't say which finger it was. And I just told the people I wasn't going to tell them what it was. Now I kind of forgot what my point was going to be because I've been sitting here and arguing with you. No, Dynasty mode's going to be sick, and I think you could, like, you just have to do it right. and I don't exactly know what that's going to look like. Making your own college should be an added piece in there, and how in depth it can go. Like, give me all of the details. Like, give me the random locations, picking like any place in the country, and then being able to pick your, like, being able to pick you're a Nike or an Adidas or an Under Armour school. I think that's really important as well. I would like to see a lot of that, because there was a guy he's called Not the Expert. He just played the college football video game. The UGF Pandas, Electric Factory. But can you imagine the UGF
what school
Pandas
are you
in the 2025
taking
game?
On
oh
in Dynasty
gosh.
Mode? What school do you want to win?
Electric Factory. I want to see that totally like blitzed out, glammed out. That would be so cool.
I used to do Oregon back when, like, that
tough
used to
question
be
a... I'd make Cornerstone have a football team, and then
how disrespectful is that?
In all seriousness, play Oregon. I want
that used to be the only chance they had
to win a national championship,
which is kind of crazy with Phil Knight like pumping money into that college for the better part of two decades now. How they have not won
that
shows
what
you how hard
Oregon
it
stands
for
the
NIL era and how good Nick Saban was at his job.
Not much has changed.
Okay, that's the game. Last thing before we sign off for the episode, we told you we had some news about a coaching hire. Breaking news. We're actually reporting this for the very first time tonight. Eric Bieniemy, offensive coordinator at UCLA. He went from Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs to the Commanders and Sam Howell. And now, I'm not going to lie, I don't know who UCLA's quarterback is now that Dante's gone. But he is he's headed to UCLA as the OC. I'm not going to lie, I like this hire. I like this hire for them because their new head coach, we talked about this when he got hired. Never been anything more than a running backs coach, a position coach, which, like, hey, we don't know how he's going to turn out as a head coach, right? Like, nobody does. But there's obviously a lack of experience there at coordinator position and head coaching position for him. So just to get someone with the years under his belt, like Eric Bieniemy does, to help him kind of learn the ropes, I think that's a positive. So I'm going to give it a B. I'm going to give this higher a B.
I'm going to be a little bit more optimistic than you. I'm going to give it an A. What would you want as a head coach with zero head coaching experience to have on your coaching staff? You would want a guy who knows all levels of football, okay? And I think a guy who's been an offensive coordinator in the NFL for several years kind of knows what's going on at all levels of football, so much so that it's kind of a shocking move that Bieniemy would take a quote-unquote step back into the college ranks, which I think that line is becoming a little bit blurred of like, oh, a coach went from the NFL to college. Is that necessarily a step back? You could look at the Harbaugh situation from San Francisco to Michigan. Was that necessarily like a step down? I don't know per se, but Bieniemy was a candidate to have head coaching jobs in the NFL forever. And it kind of makes you scratch your head. Like, is something going on? Is something wrong? But I mean, we should always believe if there's no signs of anything going wrong, then we should believe that there's nothing going wrong. And this is just the next step. So I think it's a slam dunk hire from a UCLA perspective. Get a guy who has a reputation of being a really solid offensive minded coach, and also a coach who has tremendous experience to give a guy who maybe doesn't have that experience a new perspective or a different look on things.
All right,
UCLA's hands were tied with their head coaching hire.
I already
hit it out of the park.
Not gonna lie, after we did our power rankings episode,
and I think
I'm like, I'm already wanting to go back and change things. I think after spring practices happen, we should have another early power rankings episode and go through the Big Ten again, because they're gonna shake up again. There's gonna be another transfer period.
I'm sticking with my rankings. If there's anything that I know, it's Big Ten West football, and that doesn't exist anymore. But if there's anything else that I know, it's bad Big Ten football.
Also, how funny is it that the Big Ten West, which is just absolutely abysmal in football,
but I know the ones who are going to be bad.
Every single Big Ten West team
locked
is ranked above every single Big Ten East team in college basketball. Yeah.
I saw that same stat, and you know who gets screwed the entire time? Maryland. I mean, I shouldn't be laughing as a Michigan basketball fan, but LOL, national
they
championship.
They do always have so much optimism of like, oh, maybe this is the year they
Maryland
might, you know, take
just,
down one of the top dogs in football.
The
and then I know in basketball
the
this year they
in
thought they were
going
to be good.
Major sports. It's so
both
funny.
Both teams just, not it. Not it. That's freaking hilarious. All right. Well, we're going to call it an episode. Thank you guys for listening. We will be back next week talking about, I don't know, there's always breaking news with college football these days. So we will see you next week. Thank you for listening. Follow, subscribe, leave us reviews wherever you're listening to us. And we'll talk to you next time. Peace.
Love you.